Let's get back to our top story, the two weekend mass shootings that left more than 30 people dead. Today, the president called for condemning bigotry and racism. He said it is mental illness and hatred that pulls the trigger, not the gun. And he spoke about the role of the internet.
We must recognize that the internet has provided a dangerous avenue to radicalize, disturb minds, and perform demented acts. We must shine light on the dark recesses of the internet and stop mass murders before they start.
Well, joining us now to look at the role of the internet and more is Derek Thompson. He's senior editor at The Atlantic, and he joins us as he does each Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Jeremy.
So minutes before the shooting in El Paso on Saturday, an anti-immigrant manifesto was posted to the online message board 8chan, claiming to be from the shooter. Tell us more about the role of these sites in mass shootings. This isn't the first time we've talked about something like this.
No, it's not the first time we've talked about these sites, and it's not the first time that we've talked about these kind of manifestos. This seems to be a depressingly familiar ritual that after you see these gun-related massacres happen, we realize that this person has been active on an online community like 8chan or Gab. We realize that they have this history of digital interactions with people through which we learn that they've become radicalized. And then just before the attack, this happened in the New Zealand massacre as well, we learn that there is a manifesto, a declaration often of white nationalism, white separatism, white supremacy that comes just before the tragedy happens. So all of this seems to be part of a pattern, and that's both depressing but also something that we, of course, have to learn from.
And the founder of 8chan, who no longer runs it, has called for the site to be taken offline. Have any steps been taken to rein in extremism on this site or on other sites?
Yeah, so 8chan has historically been a free-for-all, but now you see that its founder has called for it to be taken offline. Some of the people, some of the tech companies that have hosted or protected 8chan are starting to back away from that company. You've seen the same thing happen at Facebook as well, that as Facebook realized that that platform was also being used as a vector for white nationalism, Facebook has now said, no, we're going to ban messages of white separatism, white nationalism, or white supremacy. They've also taken steps to ban individuals who were regular purveyors of that sort of content. So, yes, you have seen the platforms begin to react to these tragedies, but I emphasize the word react because so often you see them take steps after the massacre that they should have taken before it.
Now, we're talking about 8chan because that is part of the story. President Trump brought up the internet today, but a lot of other people are looking at what happened and saying this is about guns in America, the sheer number of guns in America. How do we compare to other countries?
Well, of course, it's about guns. If you look at civilian guns per capita, per 100 people, in France, Germany, Italy, Spain, it's under 20 for all of those countries. In the U.S., it's 120. So we have more than six times more guns per person than the typical European country where these kind of mass shootings simply never happen. As Max Fisher, a writer for the New York Times, explained rather depressingly 2 years ago, there's simply no other country that has this problem. And just as there's no other country that has a mass shooter problem like the United States, there's also no developed country that has as many guns per capita as the United States. So it's almost impossible to explain the phenomenon of mass shooting massacres in the U.S. without first pointing out that we have far more guns per person and far more guns in total than any similar country.
However, even after the shootings in Newtown, even after the shooting in Las Vegas and the Pulse nightclub and all of the other shootings that we could name, there hasn't been any real action on making the gun laws tighter in this country. So we'll see if these terrible shootings we've seen over the last couple of days will make any difference this time. I want to ask you about one more factor that's been brought up, which is the idea that mass shootings inspire other shootings in part through the use of social media.
Right. So there was a 2015 paper out of Arizona State University, a really interesting paper called Contagion in Mass Killings and School Shootings. And it basically pointed out that these kind of mass shootings tend to occur in bunches, just like this weekend. And that indicated to the researchers that these events seem to infect each other, seem to infect new potential murderers, not unlike a disease. The conclusion said, quote, "We find significant evidence that mass killings involving firearms are incented or encouraged by similar events in the immediate past." And the way that I would summarize this finding is to say that social and mass media essentially act as the vector by which the disease of mass murder spreads. So on the one hand, it is, of course, critical that we focus on the prevalence of guns to explain the phenomenon of gun-related deaths. It's also important for us to be really concerned about the way that social and mass media are sometimes complicit in advertising or bolstering the incidence of these, of the fact of these massacres that might make them more likely to happen in bunches.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Thanks as always.
Thank you, Jeremy.